The other, there was one other individual who was up here to testify. Carl, are we back on? Good.
Yes,
so I just want to clarify as to why Mr. Walsh was removed. As you will recall, at the beginning council, I read what the council rules were. And I was very clear on what those rules were. One of those rules includes if you're going to provide testimony on the item that is actually at hand. And Mr. Walsh was trying to comment on the next ordinance. We have not presented the ordinance. Staff has not had an opportunity to explain what the ordinance was. And in fairness to staff, they should have the opportunity to present the ordinance, then have public testimony on that ordinance. Mr. Walsh was unwilling to do that. I prefer him to stay here in chamber. I do not like kicking Mr. Walsh out. But in this case, it was obvious he was not in agreement with me, but as the presiding officer, the one who's responsible for enforcing the council rules, I felt it necessary to do that. So I apologize to everyone for that disruption. You've been very patient. It's good to see you again. Thank you for being here.
Thank you, Mayor Wheeler, commissioners. My name is Garrick Kransky, and I'm here representing the Street Trust. I really appreciate the opportunity to have a conversation with you about this ordinance, and there's been a really robust discussion here at Council today about the merits of reducing speeds to save lives on our streets. So I won't belabor all of the fantastic points that have been covered. I'll basically say thank you for the work that you've done to get us to this point, and please do more. At the Street Trust, we are committed to the principle of Vision Zero, which is, you know, reducing our serious injuries and fatalities on our streets to zero. We've been working with community groups on a pilot program as far back as 2011, so we've been thrilled to see the evolution that the city has taken in its approach towards making our streets safe. Representatives of people who are walking and riding bikes and using transit to get around, these are essential sort of life changes that can make our community much more approachable and accessible for people as they get around to meet their daily needs. So it's fantastic. And we know this is just a first step. While it will increase safety on over 70% of our streets, we have more work to do on those high crash corridors. And so we definitely want to represent the 673 people that we were able to engage with in just the last 2 weeks when we saw that this ordinance was coming up at council. A bunch of folks immediately signed on to a petition of support that I shared with all of you, and I wanted to take a moment in council chambers here today to sort of honor those 673 people who are supporting the ordinance and asking for more.
Thank you, Mr. Kransky.
That's all I have.
That.
Thank you so much.
Thanks. Thank you. Is that the end of public testimony, Carla?
I show one more. Rob Noss.
Representative Noss. He already spoke.
Thank you.
Very
okay.
Good. Very good. Folks, would you like staff to come back up to answer any further questions?
No.
Very good. Please call the roll.
Fritz.
Well, thanks very much to Representative Noss and Speaker Kotek for their leadership in getting the permission to do this. That was huge. Thank you, Commissioner Saltzman, for your lobbying on that and also your bringing this ordinance forward. Thank you, Director Treith and Dana Dickman, for your excellent work on this. I have now lost three family members to traffic crashes involving speed. And for people who say that this won't work, it might. And I would ask everyone who drives to think of, do you want to be the driver that causes a traffic fatality? And if staying at a reasonable speed will decrease the likelihood that you will cause that crash, I would suggest that that is in your best interest to do that as well as in everybody else's on the streets. Commander Krebs, you gave us the only smile of this hearing in that you mentioned peer pressure, in that most drivers on local streets are your neighbours. I would suggest if you need any encouragement to drive safely on local streets, get yourself an Inferno red car, put flames on the side and about 30 bumper stickers on the back. There is no doubt to my neighbours when I am driving down the street, and I am very well aware of that. I take transit to work every day, so I won't be driving down my street in the near future. And when I do, I will immediately start driving 20. Mary Sipe, thank you for your comment that we already have reader boards. They're called speedometers. I think it's very, I know it's very important to look. There's a reason for speed limits, and especially on local and arterial and collector streets, it's really important to monitor your own speed and do what you're supposed to do. I believe that most Portlanders do the right thing if they know what they're supposed to do, and it's definitely the right thing to start driving 20 miles an hour on local streets. Thank you for your work. Aye.
Fish.
I want to second everything that Commissioner Fritz just said. Dan, thank you for bringing this forward and for the work, the diligent work you did to bring it forward. Leah Tree, thank you for the presentation and the staff work. My friend Randall Edwards called me the other day, and his father died. His father died at age, I think, 84. And a number of us have had the chance to meet Randall's dad over the years. And I said, well, what a blessing that he lived long enough to see you and Julia get married. He got to know his grandchildren. He lived a full life. What we're talking about in preventing unnecessary deaths on our streets and our arterials is preventing families from being torn apart by the tragedy of a completely preventable death. Commissioner Fritz has experienced unspeakable tragedy. At age 11, my family buried my mother. My mother never got to see her son get married, have children, seek public office. And indeed, my children were robbed of the chance to have a loving grandmother in their life. We know that there's a problem, and we know there's lots of ways of going to fix the problem. The question is, do we have the will to implement them? And we can argue about, you know, whether it's 20 or 25 or, you know, what level of enforcement, but my view on Vision Zero is let's take all the best ideas and implement them. Because if we save a life, if we prevent someone from going through the horror of burying a loved one, we've done something important. And as to the notion that we can't change behavior, I do think we can change behavior. I think we do it through peer pressure and community pressure and setting an example. How about setting an example? Like, put your goddamn phone down when you drive. For some reason, my phone now says it can't be used while I'm driving. And I don't know how I think my daughter put some app on it. But that's the best technological innovation I've ever seen. It just, my phone is like offline when I'm driving. I can't use it. So I hope everyone considers putting...
Actually, a mega corporation put that on your phone, not your daughter. Okay, well,
anyway, I think it was a good idea. And so thank you for your good work, and I will continue during Dan's tenure at PBOT, and whoever succeeds Dan, I will continue to join with my colleagues in supporting Vision Zero. Bye.
Saltzman.
Well, I want to once again thank Representative Rob Nose for his leadership, and thank the Oregon Legislature and the governor for making this the law of Portland. This does only apply to Portland. And I do think that I also want to thank the Bureau of Transportation and Portland Police Traffic Division for all the hard work you're doing to make Vision Zero a reality. It's a real challenge to eliminate all fatalities by 2025, as we've seen with the increase in fatalities just from last year to this year. And with more people living closer together and people disobeying speed limits and other traffic laws, it is a more hazardous environment. Particularly for pedestrians and bicyclists these days. So I think this will be in effect. I think, as Commissioner Fish said, I think most people do want to respect the law, obey the law. And I do think that this will have, as we heard from Captain Krebs, this can, and Director Treat, this can really reduce the injuries or fatality of somebody who is hit at a given speed, 25 versus 20. So it's definitely a move worth making. And I was intrigued by Commissioner Udaly's reference to the Oregon Driver's Manual. And I'll confess it's been a long time since I've actually read the Oregon Driver's Manual. But I do recall somewhere in there, I think it says, obey posted speed limits first and foremost. And then 25 is the rule of the road. So I do think we need to try to fix that issue. But I do think the basic admonition there is obey posted speed limits. Pleased to support this. Aye.
Udaly.
I'm also pleased just to support this item. And you're in for a treat, Commissioner Saltzman, because I looked up the Oregon Driver's Manual. And What it says is the following speeds are set in law for the specified areas, whether posted or not. They apply unless a different speed is posted. So obviously that affords us the ability to change speeds. I am concerned just with the lack of posting in a lot of neighborhoods, and you know, certainly wouldn't want to see people unfairly ticketed for driving the previous limit. So I'm really interested in that communications campaign and happy to assist however we can. And I vote aye.
Wheeler.
Well, first of all, let me say, Commissioner Saltzman, I think this is extremely important work. And I very much appreciate you and your team's efforts on this. I think it's great, and I support the comments that my colleagues have made with regard to the governor and the legislature for allowing us to open up this opportunity. A couple of issues from my perspective. First of all, as police commissioner, I get more information on the number of accidents that happen in this community that go beyond the deaths that are well publicized. People are hit in crosswalks and getting across streets and other activities on the streets on a very regular basis in this community. And government obviously has tools at its disposal. We've talked about engineering, we've talked about education, we've talked about enforcement. I believe this is an important step towards reducing the kinds of interactions that we're having on our street that are leading to some of the negative news stories about how safe our community actually is. And I know that there will be those who say this is the government intervening and trying to change our behavior. I want to be clear, that is exactly right. But the truth is, government shouldn't have to come in to change behavior. We shouldn't have to be taking this action. The reason we're doing it is because people aren't using the two most valuable tools they have to reduce accidents and injuries on our street, and that is a reasonable schedule and the clock that you need to make sure that you are running on time. If you leave home late for something that you have scheduled to, you are going to drive faster than you need to. And so, you know, really, I hope the communications program is have a reasonable schedule, know how long it takes you to get from point A to point B, and look at the clock and leave on time. Don't leave late. Because so many of these accidents, people say after the fact, oh my gosh, I didn't mean to run this person over, I was running late. And that is epidemic in our society. We're all overscheduled, we're all super busy, we're always running late. And the busier and later you are, the more you're not thinking about what you should be thinking about, which is driving the car and doing so in a safe manner. So this is one tool that we are using, but it's not the most important tool. The most important tool is ultimately the decisions we make as drivers before and while we get behind the wheel of an automobile. So again, Dan, super work. Very impressive work. Thank you. I vote aye. The ordinance is adopted.